Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon. My name is Veronica Entwistle, and who are you? I would really like to talk to you today because this is a call-in show called Radiance by Design. It's all about learning to radiate at a higher level, raise your fields and frequency, and thereby change a lot of our reality. And as we change our reality and as we radiate out there, we also change reality for a lot of other people. So many times we're just sucking in what the collective, we're sucking in the collective, maybe wanting energy of people shopping at the malls, thinking they're not beautiful enough or they're not feeling good enough or they have their own traumas and so on. And we go walking through, and holy mackerel, we just take that on, face droops and all that kind of stuff. And what we're learning is that we can consciously radiate at a higher and higher level and literally become contagious. We can actually poke and prickle other people's energy so they too lift and their fields and frequencies radiate higher and higher. Change the energy, change the reality is one of my favorite phrases. It's in the Arcturian Chronologues, which I love, by Patricia Pereira. And the Arcturians say that, change your energy, change your reality, and that's what we aim to do on this here show, Radiance by Design. And I like to start off with a sacred geometric energy meditation that the guides, my beautiful and wonderful team of guides and angels, taught me to share with you, and it's a great place to go, like a research lab. Also today, in preparation partially for my guest at 5 o'clock on Paradigm Shifters, his name is Robert Kull, K-U-L-L. He wrote a book called Solitude, and it's a wonderful book where he did a PhD thesis by going away, living in Chile. He's from Vancouver, B.C., and he studied solitude. That means his own isolated time for a year. That became his PhD thesis. But you and I know, many of us know, that we're often in some state of meditation or self-exploration in order to what? In order to get in touch with a greater power, in order to separate from the consciousness of the collective or media design consciousness or family problem consciousness, lineage problem, whatever. In order to separate from that and have the purity, this is how I see it, have the purity of the soul's journey expressing through ourselves in order to individuate, to become the highest, the freest, the more, what would we say, self-expressive aspect of ourselves that we can find, we often have forms of solitude. We go into meditation, or we just simply go into the woods and to be alone or to be in nature and so on. And it's been very, very crucial since time began to find a way to go in there and get in touch with what's inside of ourselves. And on Radiance by Design, for quite a long time, we've been going through digging inside, going inside of ourselves and finding out how we use things like defense, resistance. What is our identity? How do we refine, discover more about our identity and refine it? What kinds of things are we afraid of, or how much of the time is fear running our lives, or is enthusiasm and love? We've gone inside for all of those things and many more. So we're going to investigate some of that today. We're going to have you call in. We're going to do a little more digging around inside of ourselves. We're going to learn some of the mini meditations of being able to isolate or go into solitude long enough to figure out what's up with you. And we're going to do our sacred geometrics, as I said before. And then I'm going to get you to call in and talk to me about your life. We've had some great calls over the last few weeks, and I really do love the fact that so many of you in the Radiance by Design community are really courageous. You phone in and talk about what's real with you. You do work. Other people benefit and do their own inner work inside of themselves because you're talking on the radio or because I'm talking with you on the radio or whichever way it's going at the time. So this is a really fun workshop time. Let's do it together. But before you start calling in and before we dig into what's ticking inside of ourselves, let's do our Sacred Geometrics workshop. It's actually not normally called a workshop. It's our sacred geometrics meditation. And the first thing we do is call in the golden ball above your head, perhaps 2 to 4 miles. You know, they often say, you know, you can move it up higher if you want to intensify the experience. Something I don't normally say, but the guides will say we can move those balls up and down and we can shift them around. And if you decide to try it, just move one thing so you get some way to figure out what you're doing and see whether it intensifies your inner experience. It's kind of fun. So again, we do a golden ball above your head, perhaps 2 miles, and one below your spine, about 40 feet below, and drop a filament of light from the upper golden ball through your spine and into the lower golden ball. And now from the upper golden ball to about waist, and 20 feet out from the waist, at about waist height, drop a four-sided pyramid, a golden pyramid, or a pyramid whose lines are all golden light. And then another pyramid upside down, and its point meets the lower golden ball, and it's base to base with your upper pyramid. So now you're inside of an octahedron, an eight-sided gold-lined figure. And inside of that, you do your crystal ball, and have the crystal ball touch the inside edges of your octahedron. And inside of that, see yourself in a star tetrahedron, third and three-dimensional Star of David. And inside of that Star of David, that three-dimensional star tetrahedron, spin and spin and spin and spin and spin. You're spinning so much you look like you're in a spaceship. Great. Now while you're spinning, see in front of you a crystalline grid. And we're going to make little movies, as you remember, of various things that you would like to do for yourself and for others. So the first one is just about you with yourself. I always like to see myself as becoming more and more multidimensional. And see it and feel it. Remember, when you're manifesting, you want to feel what you're doing. Good. And now wrap that in light so it can continue its little process and then shift into a project that you love to create and do. I have a project in mind and see the resources coming to you, the people that it takes to help you create this project. Maybe it's a relationship, home and family, maybe it's a business or a book or whatever it is you want to create. Good work. And to see the resources coming, the helpers coming. See, feel, and know yourself in the middle of the project. Absolutely doing it, performing it, enjoying it. And see it sustaining itself with love and resources. And that's it. Good work. And just really feel how successful that is. And wrap it in light. And now let's call in the Galactic Healing Center. And call in your Galactic Healing Center and call in your healing team, beings of consciousness, love, and light. They're going to work with you and others. And see that team go around this wonderful healing table that's in there. And the first person who comes in and flops out on the table is you. Good work. I put myself down there too. And see what the healing team wants to do for you to help you heal. Or if you have a special issue, ask them to guide you through it. Okay. And see what kind of work they do on you. Sometimes it's quite funny what the team seems to do. I always have this little character who seems to have kind of a vacuum hose for some part of his upper body. And he seems to be doing a lot of clearing out, and he can barely reach the table whilst the others seem a lot taller. Who do you see there? What does it feel like? Great. And ask if there's any message for you to help continue your healing. All right, now the team can replicate themselves as you remember. So let's move that scenario along and wrap it in light in case it has more to do. Then we see the team replicate itself around a fresh healing table, and you bring in somebody who needs some help. And see what they need. And ask the team what they'll do to help this being. Mm-hmm. And again, ask if there's any message about what you can do to help or what that person could do to help themselves. Good, and let's do the third one. Sometimes you get two coming in on one. We have a new fresh table and the team replicates itself. But sometimes we get two. There might be a couple or a family or something. Don't worry about it. Let it come in. And what is it that they need from you? What does the team want to do with him? Or her or him? Yes. And actually, in my case, it's like showing them a little more about how to communicate with one another as they go through this. And wrap that in light. And then the final thing I'd like to say is let's put Mr. Obama in our healing room because the guides keep saying it's really hard for him to stick to his program, to stick to what it is he wanted to do because he's getting all talked about the consensus. He's getting all cluttered up by the interest groups that surround him, and there's an awful lot of, what would we call it? I would just say financial bullying, but that's not exactly a phrase of finesse. So excuse me for being that way. I'm not very political in some ways. But the guides keep saying that he's having a hard time maintaining his own truth and integrity because what happens is it's true for all of us. We start drowning in whatever is the energy of the strongest group of energies around us. And so we need to send energy to him that he can keep separating himself long enough to keep going for his own projects or for the goals that he intends, the dreams that he has, the ideals that he loves. So let's all send a great, let's bring some beautiful golden light in through the top of our head and send it out through the chest and wrap Mr. Obama in that kind of light, in the light of support, the light of love, the light of self-recognition, the light of his own truth. And then let's change the color into a bright pink for harmony and send it to all the hot spots in the world where we could perhaps outmold war and man's inhumanity of man. And we're just going to soothe and squish the beautiful light of healing to all the tough parts of the world. And then when you've got the whole world covered with this beautiful pink light, soothing man's inhumanity to man, I guess is a good way to put it. Then bring it back into yourself. And then come on back into our star tetrahedron and spin and spin and spin and spin and spin. Oh my goodness, it's so neat to spin in there. Quite often you can just jump in and start spinning because you feel overwhelmed by other people's energy too. It's a great way to resolve that. And then come on into the room, and I'd love it if you would call in and tell me what's going on with you. I said in my little email letter that I was preparing for Bob Cole's book on solitude, and I was fascinated because he's got a missing leg, and he's had a lot of, he went away to Chile to do this year's research into solitude, so that was inside of his own solitude. But he suffered a great deal from this leg that's missing, and you know, he had the phantom pains and so on. At the same time, as I was trying to read his book, I was having a hard time concentrating because I had fallen and I was suffering from a pain in my leg. So I thought, now if that isn't a synchronicity, nothing is. And the other thing that kind of fascinates me about that, and many of you have called in with various physical difficulties, some huge challenges, I know that. And it's really interesting, isn't it, that when we have a personal challenge, whether it's a loss of vision or a loss of your normal mobility, or even just pain when you're not, I'm not used to pain, when you're not used to pain and you really have to adjust to it and so on, there is a huge amount of solitude involved, isn't there? When you have people around you and they're nurturing you and they're loving you and they're helping you and they're giving you dinner or whatever, that's sharing. However, what you've really got going on, you actually, you can be loved and supported for it, but you can't actually be, you can't share the feeling normally. You know what I mean? Maybe I was sharing some of Bob's feeling, but his was worse than mine because he lost his leg and so on many years earlier. His pain was for a long time. But do you understand what I mean? So I would get these great flashes, these great eurekas in the middle of the night about what was really going on with me. So, you know, it's a great way to look at our fears. Strange fears that come up when you're in a state of isolation. Have any of you ever experienced that? Or becoming very aware of defensive activities. Or, you know, we were talking about how Aravinda said that defense and resistance really block enlightenment. And basically, I guess a lot of us listening to this show are wanting enlightenment in some form or another. We haven't really talked about what that means. Maybe we should do that. What on earth does enlightenment mean to you? But when you start thinking about it, you go into yourself, and let's do this right now. Take a deep breath. And drop into yourself really deeply. Let the demands of the world fall away and just enter that great place inside. I used to call it the little velvet me. Yeah. And then ask to see if you have any, do you have any defenses coming up? Anybody sitting on your defenses? Can you see any defenses in there? You know, it's funny, as soon as I ask that question, I get a kind of a defensive response. You ever felt like that? Gee, I don't know if I'm doing it right. I wonder if I'm doing this right. I wonder if I, is this the right way? I don't know if that's really, you ever do that? That's pretty defensive stuff in itself, isn't it? So it's like going in and finding out, exploring, divining those pieces inside of ourselves that truly block what's deep down underneath it. And I said to you that Aravinda said that defense and resistance block enlightenment. But there's another thing, is in my work. So often I watch when I look inside of people who have a session, and I look and see the kind of like a an energy stream way down deep inside, and it's got these funny symbols in it. And I always see it as the divine pulse of our soul. Like, what is it you were born for? What is it you want to live into in this lifetime? What is it you want to explore, accomplish, heal, release? What is it you want to do in this lifetime? And I always believe that the pulse of our soul is when we move through the exploration of our defenses and resistances and through our fears and through our habitual responses and really go into that kind of solitude, I feel this, that we can reach that kind of surge of real energy that is our own, what would you call it, soul's stream. That's what I feel. Now, I don't know if that's enlightenment. Maybe not. What would you say, Bob? You think that's enlightenment? It isn't really, is it? Yeah, it's kind of, Bob says it's knowing our place in the cosmos, and in a way, you could say that's true, but I know that I'm the only one who's got my energy in the whole universe. You're the only one that's got your energy in the whole universe. It's our signature, isn't it? It's our note. It's the chord that we are. And to me, it's kind of like going in and being able to align with the essence. That's what it is. So I don't know if that's enlightenment, but in any case, that's what we're looking for. So when you go inside, and we've done this over and over, various things that we've been after during these shows. One of them is going after, what is my identity? How is it that I see my identity? And what am I attached to in my identity? That also can block the essence of your being, and that can block knowing what your real cord is. Because a lot of times our identity, and I know a number of you out there that have been releasing your last year's identity, we'll put it that way, in order to unfurl more, to become more of, to become actually more realized, to become more able to pulse and respond to the impulses of the universes that move through you at any given time. Sometimes when we're in, fully in our identity, like, I'm an intuitive, I'm a teacher, I'm a mother, I'm a grandmother, all of these things that I am require a certain amount of activity. And when I release each one of those consciously, when I really release one of those and I just am, then the power becomes much greater. Somebody asked me recently, if I release my defenses, will I be defenseless? But by the same token, when we go in deeper and deeper and unhook ourselves from these various, let's say, labels, identities, things that really push our activities, it's funny, we go in deeper and farther, and we get a kind of a radiance that comes up. And I believe that that radiance itself creates a kind of protection for us. What it does is, for one thing, it starts attracting in, or it clarifies who you're attracting. And it attracts in people who are, or it attracts in more of a match for an evolutionary or a more enlightened rapport, much less combativeness, much less defensive echoing back to you. Or if you're releasing your resistances, what happens is you find that there's a flow in there instead of a reactive resistance, kind of a jerky path of creation. It's really fun to do this. I'm going to get the number here. Sorry, I should have planned this a little better. I'd like you to call in. The show is 888-810-8322. That is 888-810-8322. And the direct number is 530-876-3222. 530-876-3222. So today what we're doing is talking about whatever we want to talk about that you get out of solitude. Do you have anything to talk about that comes out of your solitude? You're being alone, you're thinking about things your own way. One of the things that comes up a lot with people too, if you're spending time alone consciously, that means, I would say it's not just letting your mind take you wherever it does. Being conscious is like directing your mind to have no thoughts, or directing your mind to perhaps make sound for and over again in order to clarify what the influences are in there. So one of the reasons that we do this is because very often when you do that, you direct your mind over and over, or you actually meditate your mind and release your mind over and over again. And what can rise is a sound or a voice that comes up, or messages that come up, and they can float up in terms of pictures or in terms of sound. And you get quite it's a huge resource, isn't it, when you can get the voices and you can get the sounds to come up. The other thing to do is also when we go inside and we create a path to solitude within ourselves, we can also aim our consciousness so that we bring in our rapport with our higher self. And that really requires sort of a stepping away from the convention. You and your higher self would connect to make a much bigger version of the energy that's just yours all over the universe. Your higher self knows everywhere you've ever been and everywhere you're going. And to me, the higher self has a lot to do with understanding the, what is it called? You've got this dharma, which is your goal and your journey as a soul and the right livelihood that you bring with you. But there's dharmi, which is the movement of the collective. And I often think that that our higher selves have a kind of a dharmi of their own, don't they? It's a much higher level of the collective. To me, it's the transformative, the greater wisdom. It's the light, and it's the, I don't know if it's always pure spirit. I imagine there's some dark stuff in there, too. But I would say that the dharmi of the collective has its own higher self as well. So we have all these levels of consciousness that we want to research and talk about and get into. So let's see. I think maybe I'll do what I already gave the numbers, I think. Oh, no, it isn't. The number, I've got the wrong number. Sorry. It went off. And what I'd like to do is, I'm kind of slow today. I haven't been feeling all that crackerjack since I hurt myself and have had my own kind of solitude to deal with. So let's call in and talk to you about your stuff. In the meantime, I'm going to do a reading on somebody who's got a terrific amount of defense that she's holding in her belly, her stomach and her second chakra area. And she's got the kind of defense that says that she does not trust anyone. Remember, the second chakra, your belly area. Oh, I'll let you talk first and I'll take a break here. You're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, Veronica. I just happened across this, actually the station, but I've never kind of heard you before, and I thought, you know, I'm into solitude, but it's, I think I'm happiest when I'm alone, so it's my choice, and I have kids, so, you know, that's like my favorite time. And just being peaceful. I think, you know, my favorite sound is the sound of silence. And so I just wanted to let you in on that a little bit, since you were talking about that, and then you kind of lost me with some other dharma stuff.
But, that was just to keep you off. And
oh, okay, because I'm like, wait, what is she talking? So so anyways, as far as that part and the higher self, oh, that would be awesome, just to connect with my higher self and kind of be hand in hand and chat a little bit and get some help, but that hasn't happened yet, so.
I think it's something you can direct for yourself, you know.
Mm-hmm. So if you have any tips of, you know, maybe kind of connecting or as far as me directing, you know, try to gain some information from my higher self, that would be helpful.
Have you, this is a terrible connection. Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you beautifully.
Okay. From my perspective, it's echoing all over, so I'm just going to talk as if it isn't. For your higher self connection, you know, and for everybody at home, there's a really simple exercise to do. And you should be able, because of your energy, and you've got a very lovely energy, you haven't explored it as much as you're going to do over the next year, but if you could just drop into that beautiful, peaceful place and just ask to feel and see that part of you that knows every place you've ever been and everywhere you're going. And that part, it's like, to me, it's like leading my head back into the wind and just knowing there's this humongous part of me that's way bigger than the third dimensional part. And if you breathe deeply, you can you feel that? That there's a part of you that's really gargantuan?
Yes.
Just lean into that and ask, talk to it, ask it to speak to you. Very loving,
Okay, that's nice. And I'm also taking notes with one eye open. So it's just
okay, one of the exercises that you can practice, and we often do this, is if you're having, you said you've got some kids, right?
Yeah, two.
Okay, and how old are they?
One's 18, and she's all drama. And the other one, she's pretty good, but she's in and out. I'm still taxi mom right now.
Oh, okay. What I want to say is it's really fun to practice going up and meeting your higher self, and then having, say you, one of your children is obnoxious, say one of them is really into drama or being obnoxious, that's a perfect time to practice. You go into your higher self, and you send, get your higher self to go over and talk to your drama teenager's higher self and say something like, this is sort of the rapport that we get into, isn't there a better way for us to work this out on the earth plane? Isn't there a better way for us to respect each other or for us to love each other? Because the higher self doesn't need all that drama to get the wisdom, does it?
No.
And it always loves to have a solution. And very often you have an obnoxious little kid and you do that interaction with them. Or you tell the higher self to higher self to let's make it more gentle on the earth plane. The kid will calm right down.
I love that.
You're not saying this out loud, but it's a great place to practice your rapport with your higher self to really get the function going.
Okay, Dad. I'm going to test that out and maybe even pass that on.
Good. Well, I expect you to call back in someday and tell us what happened.
Okay, do I have any quick messages from my angels or my guides?
Yes, what's your first name?
Charisse.
Okay, you are a very beautiful soul, and what they're saying is that you are awakening. Do you know that you're awakening and that there's a big process of growth coming up in you? They want you to do more breathing, like really deep breathing.
Okay.
When you're in your state of peace, because you're going to wake up a lot more of your knowing. You're very, very intuitive.
Okay.
Are you using your intuition yet?
No, I'm going through some challenges, so if that's one of the hurdles I'm supposed to get through, then I guess that's it. But I, you know, in my little solace of peace and time to myself, I'm doing breathing, so they should be happy with that. I'm trying. I'm getting there.
Well, but they say that you're awakening, and things might be really rough for you. What's your challenge? Is it about a partnership? Are you in a partnership?
Yeah. So it's about that, which, you know, you spoke about the second chakra, and so I'm having some, like, adrenal issues because of that whole thing. So I'm aware of that. But, you know, it's just trying to balance all the stress and, you know.
Well, there's another thing you're maybe not thinking about is that in the second chakra, there's an awful lot of entanglement. Think about this for those people at home as well. There's a lot of entanglement in this relationship. So you're trying to work out something in the relationship, but your subconscious is pulling you through a bunch of karmic stuff. You see what I mean?
Yeah, I got it.
And so it's a really good idea to call that up, and I agree, look after your adrenal glands and so on, but there's a pressure going on, and it's like a steady churning that's going on in the subconscious because of incompletions and unfinished business. And I'll say this over and over again to people. Call up that person in your body mind. Feel all the energy that comes from your soul contract with that person. Notice where it is in your body and ask for help from your guides and angels as you command total release, because that churning part is going to keep wearing out some of your glands. Do you see what I mean?
Until
you, but you can pull it out this way. It's a great way to pull it out. And then your rapport with this person with whom you're trying to work out relationship challenges will become smoother or a little bit faster.
Okay, so ask for help from my guides and then feel all the energy from that person, call it up. And, gosh, what else, Veronica?
Call it up. Don't worry, it's not that hard. Call it up and feel it, exaggerate it. You can scream about it if you want and say to your angels, okay, now take it. And each time you'll lose some of that energy that's been pulling in your subconscious. And then you'll find yourself being able to release yourself from those pulls and challenges with a little less drama of your own and a little less exhaustion.
Great.
And then you'll deal with the relationship a little differently.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Veronica. Look, this was meant to be. I just happened on it. I'm thinking.
Well, good for you. Thanks for your call.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Bye-bye.
And I just want to reiterate that. That is a part of the solitude, too, is learning how to travel through your own body-mind. The body and the body-mind is very much a library of many reactions and beliefs and subconscious programmings and lineage and good grief. We're very, very busy little critters. We've got such amazing potential. Our higher selves are huge. Our whole entire energy self is absolutely enormous. Can travel all over the universe. Our little chakras have tremendous numbers of programs in them. So in her case, oh, I'm glad you called. I'll be with you in a minute. In her case, and somebody else that I've been reading on here, has tremendous storms going on in the belly area, which houses the subconscious. And always, when you're dealing with relationships, you call it up, exaggerate where you feel it in your body, exaggerate where you feel it in your body, mind, even if it's your earlobes and your little toe and your navel. It doesn't matter where it is, just keep exaggerating it. Try to sensitize yourself as to where it is and get your angels to help you or command total release of it, and it will be easier to unhook and release those beings that are running through some subconscious attachments to you or putting you each through subconscious reactions. That was a long explanation, but you're waiting, and I'm glad. So hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, that wasn't a long explanation. I was writing it down.
Okay.
And this is interesting because your first caller kind of mimics me. I feel like you were talking to me. Because I'm having relationship issues, and I'm having second chakra issues.
That's our subject today, I guess.
Even though it's supposed to be about solitude, it seems to be more about relationships for me.
But you know something that's true about all that? Every relationship issue is about ourself with ourself anyway, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I guess if you put it like that, true.
Yeah. Okay, so tell me, what's your question? You're having second... let me just take a look. What's your first name?
Oh, I'm sorry. This is Lisa.
Hi, Lisa. It helps me to get more of your energy just to hear your first name. Honey, you're scared. Do you know that?
About my relationship?
Something about your relationship. It's about yourself in relationship that you're scared of. Do you understand that?
A little bit, but not consciously. I feel more irritated than fearful at this point.
Good. Well, that's probably more comfortable, too. Let's take a look. Okay. It's funny because I get this incredible energy running from just below the sternum right down through the navel, and it's sort of skitterish. And there is a, ask your little body inside for it. I'm going to do some energy, running some energy on it. And this person, it's a male, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
What's that? He can't really hear you. Do you know that?
We have huge communication issues. Huge.
Yeah, he just really can't hear you. And it's been so interesting. I used to think communication would resolve everything because obviously I'm a communicator. I wouldn't be doing this, right? But so many times the other person is unable to receive the verbiage, is unable to receive the concept or the vibration because he's closed. And one of the frustrations that you have is you feel kind of blocked, right? There's nothing you can do about trying to deal with things if he won't talk to you about it.
Well, we just have different ways of looking at things, and I almost feel more motherly to him than partnered, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it would have to be that way because what I'm seeing, just a second, just seeing him, yeah. Here's what I'm doing is trying to travel inside of him to see what's under that resistance to communication. And maybe it's his fear I'm getting because he's afraid of being, I think it's of being open, of being wrong, of being too vulnerable or something. And he's very immature on that level because,
yes.
You know, I think that he was pretty, I don't want to go back into digging into his childhood, but if we've had a certain kind of abuse or a certain kind of threat when we're small, we remain immature.
Yeah, and I get that.
Okay. And so I'm saying to you, I don't know how you're going to communicate with him, but you're going to get you're going to blow up soon. Do you know that?
I know. That's why I'm calling you.
It seems pretty important for you to flip out somewhere. I wouldn't flip out at him because all you do is put cement over that part of him that can't open
up.
And he's
what
really
can
scared.
I do?
I think, first of all, you're going to have to release that incredibly intense energy. And then I would go into, do you have a counselor? Because it looks like you're going to need a third party. And there is a possibility of working out with this man. But he's going to need some kind of third party intervention because he can't hear you directly.
Yeah. I've done counseling before, and I'm at the point where I almost feel like it might be better for me to just kind of give him some space so that he can take a look at himself without me being around.
Has he had counseling?
Not by himself, no.
Okay. My guys are saying the same thing that you're saying, only we're just saying that he needs some influence to wake him up, not just for your sake, but for his own.
Yeah.
Because he's actually hurting his own body by holding himself so tight. Do you know that?
Yeah.
His little body is very frustrated, so you're wise to step away, but he needs to get some kind of counseling for abuse. He had abuse as a kid, didn't he?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I know. Well, and how old is he?
In his 30s.
Oh, good. So he's just young yet.
Oh, good.
here's what they're saying is as you step away a little bit, or maybe even quite a bit for a while,
mm-hmm.
he's got the chance of breaking into something about himself. It's like somebody shakes him. I don't mean physically, but there's something that they're going to do that just shakes him up. And you know you can help a lot by sending higher self to higher self messages.
Yeah, I do that.
You do that? Well, it's not broken him yet. He has to be broken. He's got a shell around him, which is making it really hard.
Well, pray for me then, Ron.
Yeah, well, we just need to wrap him in light and swirl him around and put him in the... He needs to have his energy broken apart. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think I do.
But you need to go out and flip your lid somewhere, whether it's at a racquetball court or someplace where you can really make a racket.
Thank you. This is very validating. Now I don't feel like I'm crazy.
Oh, we're all crazy. Come on. You're not crazy, Lisa.
Yay.
thanks for your call.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, what's really interesting about Lisa's call also with the second chakra is that there's a ton of, when I didn't get this said to Lisa, but there's a ton of energy really locked in the second chakra, in her subconscious as well, which is a very, very ancient belief that the partner's not going to be there for her anyway, that she'll have to do everything herself. And Lisa, if you're still listening, honey, take a look, call that up, like we talked to Charisse before you. Call it up and ask if it's really true. If it's really true, I want to feel it, know it, see it, and understand it. And when you ask, any of you at home, if you ask for that over the next few days, you're going to start getting the kind of information about, oh, my gosh, I have this belief in me that I'll have to do everything myself anyway, and nobody can meet up with me. It's kind of a subtle, self-judging, arrogant thing. Not that you're just arrogant, Lisa. I'm not meaning it that way. But it's like, oh, dear, nobody can meet my ability or something. Look for that. It's in the belly, right near the navel, slightly to the right, and it's like really locked into that belly area. Now, the problem with that, ladies and gentlemen, is that you start meeting people, and you want to partner up with somebody, and guess what? It's the same old thing that keeps popping up and popping up, and you keep meeting that kind of person. And in her case, I see that he's going to get somebody to undo some of his packaging, and that's going to make him much more, available for some interaction. But she would be really wise to clear out that belief because she doesn't want to meet, if she meets with him again or somebody new, she does not want to meet with that person with the same belief structure. So get that belief up and out, ladies and gentlemen. And that's one of the things that solitude will do for you as well, is give you the opportunity to go in there and meet parts of yourself that are in hiding. Why do we have stuff in our subconscious? Because we're older than the hills, ladies and gentlemen. We've been touring this universe, haven't we? We've had more interactions. I know people who have lots of lifetimes in the Pleiades or in Arcturus or all these fascinating places and still carting around political leftovers from those times that are impacting projects that they're doing today. So it's not that you're weird if you've got subconscious programming. It's called being a third-dimensional human being. And the right that we have, or it's not just a right, is it? It's the journey we have to come here in this dense frequency and applying all kinds of muscles and free will and inspiration and so on, and that ability to create, 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 and then bouncing off one another to stimulate more reactions. We're a really amazing kind of a journey here, and we've brought with us tons of gear in our subconscious. So whether you're in a relationship or single, believe me, the relationship with yourself and your soul journey and your reactions and your fears are really crucial as far as your own personal evolution. I said at the beginning, what are we all after? Are we after enlightenment? Is that where we're going with solitude? I think for a lot of us, it's just simply it's releasing ourselves to the ability, to our ability, our innate ability, and the wonderment of being able to create heaven on earth, to be able to create our reality, to be able to follow free will and not be have our lives run with the tyranny of our subconscious programming or our lineage and so on. It's a very, very exciting place to come. And some of us say, what on earth was I thinking coming here with all this load? And the other thing is also coming here so we can unhook ourselves from, with Jackie's team, whom I work with every Thursday evening on ET Healing and Exploration in Consciousness. They always call it, her channel team always call it, breaking free from the familial chain of pain. Because most of the time in our relationships, we can look at one another and see how we embody our mother's, the convention of the mothers who didn't ever express themselves, we embody that. The convention of the fathers who worked really hard and didn't really know how to be with the kids, we embody that. These are all things that we're trying to get out of. We come out of an abusive society and we're trying to learn not to be abusive. We're trying to learn to be self-styled, come from the me-first syndrome, not in a selfish way, but in a self-serving way. But gotta know what the me first means. I am an infinite creative being, and there's so much that I can do. So we learn energy, we learn clearing, we learn to radiate. Now let's see, there's a whole bunch of you out there. Is somebody else gonna phone, or should I just do somebody who's mythical? Let's see. I have a friend who's an artist out there, and she is a mythical character in herself. She's in a huge transition, I'd say Saturn return. And as soon as I said, who shall I look at, the guides show the fact that the artist, oh, there is somebody. Hello? Oh, well, you hung up. So, chicken, I bet you knew I was talking about you. So the artist, they showed me immediately somebody whose throat chakra is beginning to open for the first time. And I would say this person is in a Saturn return. I'd say this person is moving into a time where she's finding her, that her whole life has to change and how she's guided her life. Let me see. We're looking at the second chakra. How she has guided her life has been, in a deep, deep determination to be very powerful and to be really good at things. And underneath being good at things, of course, there's an adept there who's extremely good at things, who can be an artist and who can create and make things and who can fix things and who can handle a whole lot of activity and so on. And then all of a sudden, her work has changed. Everything's changed. What was available isn't available anymore. And inside of her, there's this incredible, writhing, beautiful, kind of spiraling light. We're going to be on the air in 1 minute, just a sec. And as this spiraling light pushes her to produce differently in her life than she ever has. She has no consciousness of what that is. And I want to say that looking at the throat chakra is where I see her activity going to come up. So if this might be you, I want you to sing, run energy from the base of your spine, run a golden spiraling light up from the base of the spine all the way up through the spine, and then sing or paint and draw. I keep wanting her to sing and sing and sing because ideas are going to start coming, and it's going to be a whole different kind of art, which is really exciting. All right, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Veronica. This is Laris. Remember me?
Ah, yes.
Hello?
From Spain.
Yes.
From Spain?
No, yes. Laris from Barcelona, yeah.
Hi, how are you? I'm so glad to hear from you.
Well, I want you to know that, yeah, I have been listening to you, or only that I haven't really called, and I wanted to also thank you again for all the help you gave me about a year ago. I'm always remembering you, and I feel you're very close to me all the time. And today, coincidentally, I also like to see if you can kind of confirm to me that I have my first and second chakra kind of blocked. And if that's so, what do you suggest I could do? So that's kind of the same stuff that the other women have been talking about today.
And even if it isn't, it's valuable, Laris. So let's focus on the base of your spine. Now, how many of you feel that you have issues? I'll just get other people tuned into their own base chakra first, okay? How many of you feel that you have financial issues or issues of producing and creating the kind of wealth that you deserve and that you want to have, and you're scared of it? Because, Laris, I see in your red chakra, like when you feel that in your own life, everyone, go back into your red chakra and see if you can make it bright, clear red. And I see with yours, Laris, that there's a restraint going on in there, like a really tight, like a holding pattern, like it's gone sort of white without blood. And I'm not thinking you're dying. I'm thinking that you've got a tension in there we have to dump. You see what I mean?
Yes.
And that tension is some kind of doubt, some kind of resistance, or a lack of passion about who you are and what you're going to do. You're a very, very creative woman. There it comes. Now, the second chakra is not separate from the first. They all move together like a symphony. And I watch your second chakra get a lot of kind of brownish light in it when we talk about this. And that tells me that there's a lot of old feelings of self-repression. We're trying to scoop them out. I've got this big ice cream scoop. I'm trying to pull it out here. It's old repression that has come from your subconscious, from family of origin and so on. And you've had a lot of that, and that there's a effect. Everybody at home, be going into the red chakra and making it bright, clear red if you can. And if you get messages like we are with Laris, call them up and pay attention to them, because they'll move the energy. If you pay attention to them, the energy that blocks the bright redness will start moving. Now we're moving from the red into the orange, and in Laris' case it was sort of brownish. It's starting to move now. Can you feel that pressure in your belly area?
Yes.
Okay, we want that pressure to be there, and we're going to move it with orange light. We're going to press orange light into the belly area, and we're going to move that old program. It was suppression and the dulling of who you are because of judgment. Do you understand that?
Yes, it is true.
And lots of judgment. So I'll tell you what, everybody, when you call it up and say, I want to feel all the energy of judgment on me as a small person, bring it up. You can feel it. It'll bubble away in there. And then feel that. We can't spend too long here because I have to move on. But you can feel it bubbling. I can feel it. And then you want to apply bright orange light. And you want to just burn out that second chakra. Now, one more final thing we're going to do is run the same light we did for the person before you. And that's take a golden spiraling light and run it right up through the base of your spine. And feel the golden spiraling light at the base of your spine. And move it right up the spine all the way to the top of the head. And I want to tell you, Laris, that both those chakras have a lot more of their natural light in them, but it's going to take a little more time than the time we spent on the air. Can you continue the process?
Yes. Thank you very, very much. As always,
it's nice.
So wonderful.
It's nice to hear your voice, my dear. Many blessings.
Okay. Same to you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Remember, when you move your chakra energy, you're moving a ton of stuff. It's like our bodies are these amazing libraries. Our bodies are amazing libraries. That was interesting, wasn't it? busy. Amazing libraries of things that have happened, and that's very exciting. And sometimes you have to go into solitude. That's one of the things we find out, is what on earth's in there. So I'm going to say goodbye for Radiance by Design and tell you I'll see you on Thursday night on Jackie Salvitti's show, ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. I get to interview her team, which is such a wonderful job for me. And Jackie herself is a delightful healer. That's 8 o'clock Thursday night. And at 5 o'clock today, meet Bob Call on Solitude. And this guy has written a book called Solitude. It's a wonderful book, and I promise you it'll take you in and around those great crevices inside of yourself, the places where you've locked things down and you've pulled them up again. This is Veronica Entwistle saying thank you so much for your calls. And let's reach up with our minds and hearts and bring in some beautiful golden light from the universe available to all of us. Run it down in through the tops of our heads to our chest and send it out to everybody and just send out blessings. What we want to do on this show is be a part of sending out a wave of consciousness all over the world. Thank you for listening. Much love to you. See you either at the top of the hour or next Tuesday.